Exodus chapter 3 in your Bibles. We're going to read a familiar passage, a story that I'm sure a lot of you have heard. But Moses gives an interesting answer to the Lord when he calls his name. Exodus chapter 3 will begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Verse number 10, God gives this command. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now raise your hand if you understood exactly what God just said. Some of you, okay. Let's try again. Let's read verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Raise your hand if you understood exactly what God just said. Thank you. Wonderful. Glad you guys can understand. It's pretty simple. Now turn to chapter number 4. The conversation continues, and God continues to give Moses commands and instructions and details about this entire venture that they're about to go on together. But in chapter number 4, verse number 1, and Moses answered and said, what is that next word? Talk to me now. Do you guys get to talk in your classes?
No.
Okay, I'm giving you the chance to talk to me all during the message, okay? Talk back with me, okay? All right, there we go. Chapter 4, verse number 1, let's try again. And Moses answered and said, what's the next word?
But.
I want to preach this thought this morning. God, here am I, but. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless the preaching of the word of God this morning, that you would empty me of self and sin, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May I say exactly what you would have me to say, nothing more and nothing less. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Author Gordon Prange wrote a book, At Dawn We Slept. He quoted a journalist from the year 1941 who said, a Japanese attack on Hawaii is regarded as the most unlikely thing in the world, with one chance in a million of being successful. Besides saving more powerful defenses than any other post under the American flag, it is protected by distance. Now, is there anyone in here who loves the history? Not me. Who can tell me, when we're talking about Hawaii and the United States, can anybody guess what happens 3 months later?
Pearl Harbor.
And the history of America is forever changed. Why? Because these men were unprepared. Unprepared. I imagine Moses being in a similar situation. Moses is in the backside of the desert. He's run away from his past. He's run away from his family. He's run away from everything that he's ever known. And why not? He publicly murdered somebody. If I publicly murdered somebody in Lancaster and got away with it, I'm not coming back to Lancaster either. But Moses got away with it. And here he is at the backside of the desert with his father-in-law, with his wife, with his kids. And Moses is completely content to live the rest of his life on the backside of the desert. But God has a way of interrupting our plans. God has a way of butting into the situation and saying, no, this is not what I've called you to do. This is what I want you to do. God has a way of doing that. And here's Moses living a life that God is about to change forever. In chapter number three, we go back. We find Moses in the backside of the desert. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. In the midst of everything Moses has been dealing with, sure, he felt burdened about his family, and sure, he felt burdened about the Israelites. He killed an Egyptian over it. But Moses is completely content to just live the rest of his life on the backside of this desert. And when God actually has this conversation with Moses that's about to change his life, Moses answers God, here am I. And when we study this phrase, here am I think of Abraham, who said the exact same phrase. And I think of Samuel. Samuel responded in obedience when he said, here am I. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Abraham responded in faith. He got up, he rose up the next early, rose up early the next morning and went to sacrifice his son, believing that God would raise him from the dead, even though resurrection hadn't even been taught. But Abraham had that much faith in God. So this phrase, here am I, is not just a response of location. It's not just saying, I'm right here. Here am I, God. No, God knows where we are. It's a response of subjection, of submission. God, here am I. I'm willing to do what you're about to say. But unlike Abraham and unlike Samuel, Moses says this phrase, here am I, but. And we know the story, and we'll look at the specifics as we go, but Moses has a whole bunch of excuses as to why he can't do what God tells him to do. Let's look at this passage as we go. Verse number 1-4, we find, number 1, the state of the man. The state of the man. Here is Moses, content in his place. He's comfortable in his work. He's a shepherd. He's minding his business. He's minding the flock. He's curious about a burning bush. God calls out to him from this bush, and he's called to do God's work. And here we find Moses communicating with God himself. Communicating with God himself. Man, what better opportunity to have your life changed than to communicate with the Almighty God, who is holy, who is omniscient, who is omnipotent, who is omnipresent, who can do anything, who literally is speaking directly to Moses. What an opportunity. Yet Moses has excuses for everything that God wanted him to do. God, here am I. I'm willing to do what you want to do. But. So when God looks at each of us this morning, and he's telling us what to do, he's giving you a call, he's giving you an opportunity to make a difference in your community. Maybe at the games tonight, you have some lost folks around you. You have an opportunity to keep your testimony. When God looks down at you and sees a person that he wants to use, what does he see? Does he see young people that are available, that are willing to do what God has called them to do, that are willing to obey even when things are difficult, even when things are comfortable? What does God see? What state does God find you in? Or are you okay with not listening to what God has to say? Are you just okay with coming to school and getting your work done and living your own life and doing your own thing when you're away from here, when nobody's watching? What does God see? What state does God find you in this morning? The state of the man. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them." It's not a question of whether or not God is looking for young people to use. It's whether or not our hearts are right towards him. John 12:26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." 2 Timothy 2:20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." What does God see this morning? I pray, it's my desire, it's my hope that God sees a room full of young people willing and eager to do what God has told them to do. Whether it be to be a light in your neighborhood, whether it be to have a good testimony of the basketball team, the volleyball team, the soccer team, baseball, whatever it may be, I hope God finds young people that are willing and available to do what he's called them to do. Not young people filled with excuses like Moses. I'm young. It doesn't matter. God wants to use you. I'm only in seventh grade. My parents don't attend church. My family lives in a bad neighborhood. No excuses. God wants to use you. The state of the man. Number two, the situation that needed mending. The situation that needed mending. God's people are in distress. Verse number 7 in chapter 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." You guys didn't think I could read all those, did you? Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God's people are in distress. They're doomed, they're downtrodden, they're forsaken, they're oppressed. They don't know what's going on, and they are crying out to their God. They're slaves, they're servants, and they're scared. But what about our situation today? What about our situation that needs mending? That was over thousands of years ago. God's people needed help. But what about now? What about our world today? The situation that needs mending. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out our world is getting more and more wicked every day. And you guys are right in the brunt of it. Everything that the world wants to change, everything that the world wants to pull in the opposite direction of the way of the Lord is being pushed right in you all's faces. And here you are in a situation that needs mending. In a place, in an opportunity, in a world, in a generation where you can stand out because of God's call in your life, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, you can make a difference. But again, God is looking for people whose hearts are right towards Him, young people and adults alike. Our world needs mending. But there is only one who can change the landscape. There's only one who has the power to change lives, to heal broken hearts, to mend the broken pieces, to get the alcoholic sober, to bring families back together, to get the addict off of his drugs. That is God Almighty. You and I can't do it without Him. So even at your age, even as adults, we've got to realize that without the power of God, we need the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to use us and work to see this world changed for Christ. It can happen. But if it's going to happen, it's going to be because people yielded their lives to Almighty God. When God saw them, He saw states of people that were willing and available to do what He told them to do without excuses. And when He sees a situation that needs mending, He sees, you know what? I can use that individual. I can use that person. I can use that young person. Why? Because their hearts are right towards me. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to use them to make a difference in their community. The state of the man, the situation that needed mending. Is God going to use you? Or is there a but in the way? God, hear my but, I like this thing better than what you have for me. God, here am I, but, this is off limits, God. God, here am I, but. But that was Moses' answer. What is your answer today? The situation that needed mending. Number three, the specifics of the meeting. The specifics of the meeting. Let's dive more into detail about Moses' excuses, because he has a whole lot of them. And like we often do when we are told to do something we don't want to do. Moses' number one excuse, I'm nobody. Verse number 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse number 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses' excuse number two, I don't really know who you are, God. Moses' excuse number three, they won't believe. Verse number 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites. Verse 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel. Verse 19, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. Verse number 1, and Moses said of chapter number 4, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses' excuse number 4. Verse number 6, God gives Moses miracles to do. Verse number 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it out upon the dry land. More miracles. Verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses has lots of excuses. Lots of them. And here's the crazy thing. Before all of these excuses, in verse number 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. Moses, I have been what I will always be. I'm not going to change. I cannot change. I am God. Everything that you need, I am. But even after that, Moses still has lots of excuses. Why? He was focused on himself. He saw his problems bigger than the great I am. He let his problems get in the way of a proper perspective. Don't come to God with all of your excuses. Don't come to God with reasons why you can't do what he's called you, what he's told you to do. God is the I am. He's everything that you need. He's not going to change. So God is still looking for young people, for adults whose hearts are right towards him. But he's looking for available people. Available people without excuses. Moses said, I'm nobody. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has a plan for you and has had a plan for you before you were even born. You were fearfully and wonderfully created by an almighty God. And each and every person in here is important. Important to God's plan. Moses said, I don't know who you are, God. Well, if you don't know who God is, get to know him. John 15, verse number 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Paul said in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Why do you do all this, Paul? Why do you deal with all the things that you deal with, Paul? Why do you go through all this suffering that you've gone through, Paul? Why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Get to know him this morning. Get to know your God. Don't be content with just reading through the scriptures and just praying just because you know it's the right thing to do. Get to know him. Get to know God. Be intimately involved with your God. Moses said, they won't believe me. John 16, verse number 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. One thing I learned early as a preacher is that people's response is not our responsibility. I'll say it again. People's response is not your responsibility. What do I mean by that? If you give the gospel to somebody and they don't accept it, it's not your fault. If you have lovingly and graciously given them the truth from God's word that Jesus Christ died for their sins, he was buried and rose again, and one day he's coming back for those who've accepted him as their Savior, if they don't accept him, it's not your fault. You've told the truth in love. People's response is not your responsibility. The Israelites' response for Moses was not his responsibility. God told him, I'm going to take care of the Israelites. You just do what I told you to do. So it's our job to do what God tells us to do and leave everything else up to him. He's an all-knowing God. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. To me, that sounds like I'm not really talented enough for the kind of job you're giving me. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is Paul saying there? When I'm weak, God is strong. When I find that I can do nothing in and of myself, then I find that without him, I can do nothing. And my trust and my reliance ends up on God. And I find that God does things a lot better than I do. Why? I want God's power on me, Paul says. And we're going to need God's power on us if we're going to make a difference in the lives of our community. Lastly, and then we're done, Moses was sent to minister. We've seen the state of the man. Moses was content. He was curious about a burning bush, but God had called him. God had called him to do something great. The state of the man. And what is the whole purpose of this call? Moses was sent to minister. Can anybody tell me what the word minister means? Anybody? Wow. Brother Ewing, what are we teaching them? Yes, ma'am. You're on the right track. To serve. Thank you. The word minister means to serve. God sent Moses to serve people. To serve. Not to have some high position that he could boast in and of himself of how great he was and how awesome things he did. No, God sent Moses to serve people. To serve. Did God know that Moses was a murderer? Talk to me. Did God know that Moses was a murderer? Did God know that Moses would have a whole bunch of excuses? Did God know that Moses wasn't a perfect individual? But did God still call Moses to use? God's looking down on us today. God knows all of your secrets. God knows all of things you've done, all things you will do. God knows your past, your present, your future. God knows everything about you. God knows that you are not a perfect individual. Yet he still saved you, and he still expects you to do what he told you to do. Why? We're here to serve people. And the best way that we can serve them is to give them the gospel. We're here to serve people. You're not here to look good. You're not here to make a name for yourself. You're not here so you can boast in all the things that you've done. Moses was getting ready to lead, some scholars say, about 2 million people across the desert into the land that God promised them. If you ask me, it's pretty, pretty great feat. Moses didn't brag about himself. Moses didn't say, look what I've done. No, this is God's doing. God did this. God called Moses to serve, and he's calling us to serve today. Moses was sent to minister. God knew everything about Moses. He knew he was a murderer. He knew he was imperfect, yet he still called him to do what he told him to do. God knows each of us. So let's bring it home this morning. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter what your family looks like, no matter what your past looks like, doesn't matter what kind of family you were born into, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. If you are saved this morning, if you're saved, can I get an amen?
Amen.
I was a little weak. If you're saved this morning, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. If you are saved this morning, the great I am is calling you. He's calling you. And I don't know what that call is. I can't look at your heart this morning, and I'm not God. But he's calling you. He's got a plan for you. There's no question about it. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, each and every individual in here. But we can't come to God with all of these excuses like Moses did. God, I'm nobody. I don't really know who you are. I'm not talented enough. I'm not eloquent. We can't come to God with excuses. Because the great I am is just that, the I am. Whatever you need, God is. Whatever you need. When we find ourselves as weak, then God can be strong. God is calling us today. So my challenge to each of you this morning is whatever is in the way of you completely, wholeheartedly, unashamedly doing what God is telling you to do, whatever it may be, whatever your but is, get rid of it. Get rid of it. We'll have a chance here in a minute to pray. You say, God, help me with my but. God, get rid of my excuses. God, get rid of everything that is hindering me from doing exactly what you tell me to do. Why? Because we're here to serve people. Our world is in trouble. It needs help. And if we're going to make a difference, it's going to be because we've gotten rid of our excuses. We've gotten rid of everything that's in the way of us completely obeying God. May our attitude not be like Moses's was. God, here am I, but. May it rather just simply be, God, here am I. God, here am I. I'm willing and able to do whatever you tell me to do. God, here am I. I'll do what you say do. God, I love you, and I submit my will to you. You have better plans for me than I could have ever expected for myself. God, here am I. God, here am I. Let's pray.